Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Brad Stein has been a comedian for 17 years, and for the first 10 of those years, his career was unremarkable. He worked a tough road of nightclub gigs, but never got a big break, never felt the warm spotlight of big-time acclaim. Then something big did happen. Brad Stein took his identity as a born-again Christian, put it at the center of his act, and his career took off.
We believe Jesus was God on earth. He was God for 33 years, but he only told people about it for 3. Don't you think his friends must have suspected something? Come on, people go to the beach to go swimming. Jesus is walking on the water.
Christian audiences roared with laughter, and evangelical power brokers like Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson took notice. Since then, the comedian has churned out 3 DVDs and a book, Being a Christian Without Being an Idiot. Promise Keepers, the men's ministry, came calling. So did the Republican Party. And Brad Stein, Christian comedian, took up their call to take back America.
You got to be prepared, folks. Prepared to battle for our country's standards of morality. What is going to base the next generation? God or just matter? I don't know. But I say there's a whole bunch of people like us who aren't going away and want our country back, and we'll fight.
Brad Stein has found his voice, and a huge, hungry evangelical audience has lined up to say hallelujah. This hour on Point, we're talking with born-again comedian Brad Stein about Jesus jokes, nightclubs, and mega churches, and his career in comedy. You can join the conversation. Are you open to being entertained by a self-proclaimed Christian comic? Are you hungry for it? And Christian listeners, is Brad Stein speaking to you, for you? Non-Christian listeners, is this funny? We're at 1-800-425-5. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining me now from Nashville is Brad Stein. He's appeared on MTV and Pat Robertson's 700 Club. Penguin Books has him under contract for another book. Jerry Falwell calls him a unique dispenser of cutting-edge comedy. I almost choked on that one. Brad Stein, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. And I don't even know who I am. I sound famous, and I didn't know I did anything. So thank you for all those accolades.
You're so welcome. Jerry Falwell calls you a unique dispenser as a comedian.
Yes, that you must could be barely get that out. I didn't know if you were choking over the Jerry Falwell reference or just the unique and dispenser at the same time.
Wow, unique dispenser. Brad Stein, tell us your story. You said 9 years old when you came to Jesus, well, almost 40 when you came to this big new audience.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what I've always told people. I mean, you know, the thing is, when you grow up in the church, and you get saved, as we call it, which means, you know, you were messed up and they had to fix that, you know God a long time, but it does make for a real boring testimony. I got to tell you that.
Your life is boring. You don't have enough to stand up and confess.
Well, no, because I used to long for the testimonies that I used to, people would be like, yes, I was addicted to heroin and the Lord freed me. And I'd be like, oh, if I was addicted to heroin, what a great testimony. You know, I was 9. I had to, like, make up things. Like, yes, I used to have difficulty with long division, and the Lord freed me from my mathematical shackles or something. I was trying to make myself sound cool, and I couldn't. But, yeah, I grew up in the church. I was a Christian. But, you know, I had my prodigal journey where I wandered away. I had a crisis of faith where I said, you know, I don't know what I am, what I believe, what is true, what isn't true. And I went on a journey. But that whole time, I was a comic. I was in nightclubs. I was headlining the improvs, the Funny Bones. I was making a living at it. I wasn't, you know, famous. I hadn't reached that higher, you know, element that kind of puts you into the elite status. But I was making a living. But eventually there came a place where I just felt like something was missing. I wasn't in the groove I was supposed to be. And that's when things changed.
And now you're working this whole line of kind of, on the one hand, as we heard there, sort of gentle Jesus jokes. On the other hand, a whole lot of anger and resentment that you're working with as a comedian. That I was watching the DVD last night. You can feel it reflected back from the audience with big roars as well. But we want to understand that career before you turned the corner. I mean, you're not talking about living the most godly life or being the model. I mean, you were really in that nightclub scene. Alcohol was no stranger to you. That's anything but the sanctuary of a big church you were playing before.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what? I think one of the biggest things that I'm trying to do, if I have a plan, if there's a plan here, yep, and so yep. far I haven't discovered it, but, you know, is try to redefine what a Christian looks like. See, I'm like a neo-Christian, unorthodox type. I don't believe in what is passed as what Christianity is supposed to be. I don't believe that it has to come in one package. I think if you really look at the history of Christianity, there were a lot of freaks like me that showed up and believed in Jesus, but were like eating, you know, bugs and wearing camel's hair. There was weird people out there, and I want to be that guy. You know, I'm not afraid to have a drink. I'm not afraid to be in a nightclub. I don't think that that is anything wrong with that. I think that if Christianity has any value, it's because it reaches people, and most importantly, Tom, doesn't think it's better than anybody else. I'm not saying that you don't believe the belief system is true, but to think as an individual you're better or morally superior, I'm not. I mean, people say, oh, you Christians, you think you're better than everybody else. I'm like, dude, I became a Christian because, like, it was the only religion that would have me. Trust me. It's a grace religion, so it's like, he'll take me. I'm going this direction. So I hope that what I'm trying to do, and, you know, you say anger, but, you know, I think that it could equally be defined as passion, as trying to speak for an audience that really in the entertainment industry has never had anybody that sort of talks for them and allows them to get their point of view out in a way that is interesting and in artsy, so to speak, you know, a performing artist.
Yeah. This is going to be interesting because I have to say, I mean, I watched the DVD. I don't think there's any mistaking the resentment that was roiling there in some of your, and we'll listen to some of that. You say that you don't want to put yourself forward as better than others, yet on the other hand, I mean, you do take a sort of tough Christian approach on this. You've been quoted, and, you know, once you're quoted, then you're in trouble, Brad.
But then you're dead. That's right. You're
quoted saying the reckoning day.
There's going to be a quote eraser somewhere.
Well, it doesn't happen anymore. It all lives forever. Oh. It says this is your words, the reckoning day for people like this, that is not believers, is going to be more horrific than we can imagine.
Right.
Well, that certainly sounds like you would put the your Christian brothers and sisters in a separate category better than the others, or at least saved.
Well, I mean, you know, what is the purpose of religion if it isn't to believe that it's true? I mean, you know, the thing that people have a problem with is hell. Who doesn't? Who doesn't have a problem with hell? Who wants hell to be true? I don't. And to be honest with you, I don't know all the intricacies of the afterworld. I don't know how God does things. He might have people coming into heaven that I have no concept of, and good for them. I don't want to keep people out. Like I said, I'm trying to get my life through there. But if I believe that Jesus said there is a hell if you don't believe I'm Messiah, why wouldn't I say that? Why wouldn't I tell people that thing? You can either just think, what an idiot, and ignore me, or you can ponder it and go, maybe I should take this seriously. Either way, in America, we have the right, I thought, to stand for something, be passionate about it, and then let people decide. See, that's what democracy is. Can I persuade enough people to agree? If they don't, I'm not coercive. This isn't a religion. I'm not taking a gun and saying believe or die. I'm simply offering it and then saying there is a penalty. And if you don't agree with it, then just ignore me as a fanatic and walk away. Who cares? Either way, I think you're still going to have a laugh at my show because my entire show isn't about Christianity, though I do bring that in in social commentary. Absolutely.
Hey, it's your show. We're just listening. Tell us the story of how you made the decision to change. I mean, I've read it written up in different ways. You're having a drink with a lesbian comic after her act and yours, and you're kind of looking to find your way. She was saying, you need a hook. You said, well, I'm a Christian. She said, that's it. Work with that. Was it as careerist as that?
Oh, it was. I mean, you know, that was part of it, though. That wasn't necessarily the defining moment. That was part of a number of things that were happening at the time to sort of, to me, confirm what was happening in my life. I just felt like I was not connected. I knew that I was making a living. I had done a TV things. I was up for a pilot for a major sitcom. I had done a little movie thing. I had been on a lot of the comedy television channels in the 90s. So I had been successful, quote-unquote, in that I made a living as a professional comic. But, you know, you're always going for that brass ring, that sitcom or something bigger and beyond. But the point was, I was getting at a place in my life where I wasn't content, where I felt unhappy, where I felt like I wasn't, I was depressed, to be honest with you. And I just got to a place where everybody was walking out of me, out of my life. And I prayed. I said, God, you know, take my fame, fortune, whatever, but give me peace. Either you're not real or I'm missing it. And it was on that journey that these other scenarios came in, where this woman who came out and said, hey, I'm a lesbian, you know, and did a joke about it. And it just occurred to me, you know, wonder if people, if they're so tolerant in nightclubs to accept, you know, this lifestyle is simply saying, you know, this is what I'm about, and you know, are you going to laugh or not? And they did. I thought, I wonder if I could just say I'm a Christian and see what they would do, just to sort of, you know, shock people with the fact that I happen to have a religious belief. And I said it, and they laughed too. So I think all it confirmed to me was that here is somebody that we had a conversation, and we both respected each other, even though obviously we would have some disagreements on things. And I was respecting her as a comic. She was respecting me as a comic. And she saw something that she said, you know what? Nobody's doing that. She even said, you know, the only time you see a Christian on TV is Ned Flanders. So it's like she even understood that we're, the marginalization of Christians, even though, what, 70% of America consider themselves Christians, you never see them on TV represented unless they're the serial killer.
Is that true? I mean, you got all Touched by an Angel, Joan of Arcadia, Seventh Heaven, True Call. It seems like it's been kind of a hot issue lately.
Well, I don't think so. Is Joan of Arcadia still on the air? I don't know.
Not everything lasts. I mean, that's it's moved on, but it was there. I was struck at how once you made this decision, it's as though you were handed the keys to the kingdom. I mean, this whole audience, which was kind of invisible before you walked through the door, then opened up to you like crazy.
Well, you know, I think it's true. You know what I understand, Tom, and it's something that was so interesting, because like you said, I've been doing comedy 17 years. I was always a Christian. So the only thing I did differently when I was performing before I came out, and by the way, I also talk about political conservative elements too. That was another thing that's been interesting to people. But the only thing that I did differently because of my Christian worldview when I was in comedy clubs was I didn't curse and I didn't use gratuitous sexual references. That was the only big unique thing I did. And that stood enough until I decided I'm going to stand for something and see if there's a constituency, and that's what happened.
Well, and you're finding out, and we're learning right now. Brad Stein, please stand by. We've got to take a short break here. Listeners, you can join us. Do we need two streams of comedy, of entertainment in America today? We're with Brad Stein, Christian comedian. 1-800-423-8255 is our number. 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with born-again Christian comedian Brad Stein. He gets introduced as the comedian for the other half of America. And that half of America stands up and cheers very loudly for this comedian. You can join the conversation. What do you think? Is this what the country needs? Is this what the country is ready for? Do we need two streams of comedy in America? 1-800-423-8255. 1-800-423-8255. Talk is the number. Let's listen to a little more of Brad Stein. This from his DVD, Tolerate This. A couple of sides to this comedian. Here's the funny ha-ha side. Here he is on how people who say they are running late don't take personal responsibility.
That's what always kills me about people that are late all the time. They always use verbs to describe how fast they really weren't going to give the illusion they were really trying. That's why you always hear them say things like, running late. It's an oxymoron. It's like they're telling you, I'm going to be late as fast as I can. It makes no sense. Running late. Hey, if you were running, you should have made it.
The funny ha-ha comedian. Then the preacher, also from the DVD Tolerate This. Here's Brad Stein with a rant about how the only two groups you're allowed to make fun of nowadays are Christians and Southerners.
There are two groups of people apparently you're allowed to make fun of in this country. Nobody cares. Number one, Christians. Christians can be mocked all day long. Even though Christians are the people that actually happened to start this country and founded it, we can be mocked. Never see us anywhere, never see us on TV, and if we do show up, we're the serial killer. That's intolerance. So you can make fun of the Christian people. Number two, Southerners. Oh, oh, oh. You, all you have to do is give some guy a southern accent and suddenly, okay, he's the idiot. Who'll be the dumb guy over here? They do that, do they? Just give him that southern accent and suddenly everybody feels like, okay, he's dumb. He's dumb. Look at him. He talks like that. I feel sorry for people from down south. I mean, they're not stupid. Some of the best universities in the country are down south, but it's that accent that just blows it for them.
Brad Stein, you got them on your feet when you talk about Christians being the oppressed part of America, and you got it cranked up there pretty high. What is shtick and what is rage for you when you're on stage there?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I am definitely appealing to a group of people that don't have – look, it's about the entertainment industry. I mean, here I when I was on NBC Nightly News, they came and interviewed me right before I did that Tolerate This video.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things the guy asked me was, he said, are you a preacher or are you a comedian? And I just sort of said, you know, it's funny. How come when, I say something that deals with my point of view, I'm a preacher, but if Chris Rock does it, it's social commentary.
Mm.
I think everybody preaches. I think when Madonna gets to the stage, she preaches. Dress like this, have sex like this, because it doesn't matter. This is what I think is true. Everybody preaches. Everybody's biased. Everybody's a bigot. Everybody has a point of view. Everybody believes something. And if you don't, then you know, what value, you have no philosophy of truth. So, I stand up and say, I believe in the Judeo-Christian point of view, and I speak for that. You know why? Because nobody else does it as a comedian. And because I'm a Christian, why shouldn't I give them some comedy? But the point is, you heard this show. Liberals listen to my stuff. They laugh. I mean, should I say I can't watch Bill Maher because he's such a blatantly atheist, anti-Christian? Or should I say, I disagree with that, but it's funny. George Carlin, who's my hero, I think one of the best writers, monological comedy American we've ever seen, atheist, hates Christians, hates God. Should I then say suddenly he's not a comedian? No. He has a point of view. I disagree with it, but he's still a great writer. So I'm hoping that what I can simply do is allow liberals to be liberal enough to be tolerant, like they say, and say, okay, he's funny, but boy, I don't agree with that. Well, so what? I provoke thought, and hopefully, maybe I made you mad or angry because you disagree. That's what I feel when I see a Carlin or a Maher. But it forces you to think. It forces you to take a side. It forces you to decide what you believe in. And I think that's what I'm trying to do.
I see it, and I hear it. At the same time, I mean, you've been around the block. You didn't always play in mega churches and to great gathering stadiums of Christian men. We heard it just in that clip, the uh-huh kind of resentment and anger reflecting back when you talked about Christians being pushed around, mocked, made fun of. What is it? I mean, and this anger, does that jibe with your sense of Christianity? Why the anger in this community? And is it really about religion or is it about being... white and middle class and angry that the society's become, you know, a rainbow of colors and a rainbow of values? Is it cultural anger or religious anger?
I don't think it has anything to do with, culturally with against any kind of rainbow anything. I don't really see that at all.
Well, you were in Indiana in this one, you know, and happy to be back in your home state. And you began, the camera sweeps the crowd. I think it's at Ball State. It's white. And your first line is to say, this is what America looks like. That was, given the complexion of that crowd, that sounded kind of exclusive to me. But it may have appealed to that crowd's sense of what America ought to look like.
Well, I was trying to make a reference to middle America. The idea that, you know, after the elections last year, I mean, the day after the election with President Bush won, I heard at least two different commentators say, you know, apparently there's some kind of moral thing out there that slipped under our radar. There's these moral voters and this and that. And so what I was realizing was those who are from middle America, those who are red states, so to speak, if you want to use the term, are the ones that basically make up most of America. So my reference was to middle America, to just regular blue-collar people. There were some black folks there, and, you know, they didn't show up to my thing, but they're at Promise Keepers, they're at other places. I'm not trying to exclude anybody. I'm talking about a point of view. If that resonates with you, come be a fan of mine. Come enjoy it. If it doesn't, don't. I mean, that's America. So I don't think that in any way the anger is trying to in some ways decide that, you know, Christians aren't, part of American culture. Of course we are. We are part of there from the beginning and we'll be there till the end. I think that what I'm talking about is a sense that if there's any kind of standard of morality in the country, that it seems to be sometimes the judicial fiat will simply say, you can't think like that anymore. And I think people would, you know, rightfully feel insulted if their point of view is ignored. I think anybody feels like that.
Let's listen to just a little bit of that. You're talking about judicial fiat there. You talk about it in your routine. Here's Brad Stein again from Tolerate This on judicial tyranny in America and how judges shouldn't rule the country.
And we have people in this country, especially judges, who've decided that they don't care what the majority wants. They will implement their ideology and make it illegal to have a moral point of view. That is judicial tyranny. It needs to be stopped, and we can do it because America is run by people, not the judiciary. Checks and balances. The Supreme Court isn't supreme.
And the waves of applause come down for the Christian comic. Brad, I wish you'd paint the picture for us of this world that opened up to you when you turned this corner in your career as a comedian. The kind of venues that opened to you, the kind of people who welcomed you at that point.
Well, the interesting thing was when I first made that prayer that I talked about where I felt like, you know, God, I'm just going to do whatever you tell me to do because I don't know what I'm doing. I got a call from a guy to do a radio television show for a Christian channel, a very small one. Mm-hmm. But I thought, okay, this must be what's happening to me. I guess my purpose in life is to go work in Christian venues for people who don't want curse words with their comedy, who want to be able to bring their kids, who want to be able to, believe from their political or religious worldview. They want something that connects to that. So I'm thinking, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be. I moved to Nashville, Tennessee. I left California. I didn't even go to New York. So I'm outside of all the major places where supposedly you can't make it without it. And within 3 years of Nashville, I was not only profiled in the New Yorker, but the New York Times, and I was with Terry Gross on NPR. A number of these amazing opportunities in the mainstream who found me interesting suddenly, simply because I was willing to say I have a religious point of view, and I'm not going to deny that. So to me, it was almost like providence. It was like saying, apparently, this was my moment to say this thing, and it makes it interesting to people. And so suddenly, not only did the Christian venues certainly make themselves available to me, but so did other things. There's a lot of conservative companies, for example, that want a corporate show, but they don't want to worry about, is this guy going to curse or whatever? Maybe there's somebody I've done fairs, you know, I've done lots of different venues where it's got to be more clean. You can't have, you know, a curse word and this and that. And I've done those types of things. Now, granted, if I'm in a Christian thing, if I'm at Promise Keepers, for example, where it's for men who are Christians or are exploring Christianity, then I'm going to speak about Christian things because I'm one of them and I'm going to relate to them. I mean, if all I did was plumber, conferences, I would have plumber material. I work with Christians. I'm going to speak of Christians and things that matter to them and things that touch, you know, their lives. And, of course, I'm going to connect to that. But if I worked for a group that I felt was, wasn't all Christians, and I've done this on purpose, been very careful about saying, okay, I want to adjust this because I'm trying to, in the end, entertain people and make them laugh. And so if I'm amongst a different group of people or a mixed group, I'm going to tone down certain things, or I'm going to adjust and strategize because I want to entertain them at the end. I am what I am. I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah, but I was struck by just the scale of that kind of alternate universe. So, I mean, you described the mainstream people whose attention you got, but you got it by playing these enormous venues. I mean, 18-city tour with Promise Keepers. You're down at Jerry Falwell's Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia. Huge churches, mega churches. Churches so big that they have big-time entertainment budgets to bring in guys like you. What's it like to work a venue like a mega church after you've spent most of your career in nightclubs?
Well, a lot of the people aren't drunk. That's interesting. I very rarely get hit with bottles, like I used to be. But, the biggest difference, to be honest with you, is when you work for Christian audiences, they, in a way, it's easier because they're not there to, you know, scrutinize. They're trying to be nice and kind, and they're not going to, like, yell at you and suddenly walk out, which is what happens in clubs where you really, you know, you have to work so hard because they're almost like, we paid for this, and, you know, you be funny.
Make it good, buddy.
Exactly. And that's
okay. You know what, Tom? That's what made me a good comic. I mean, Jerry Seinfeld said being clean was more interesting game. And so because of my Christianity, I didn't allow myself to curse and use the F word as a punchline. So I had to be creative. I had to get more energetic. I had to get more body language. All these things that evolved as a comic to try to sell what I was doing because I was competing against guys that were shocking and titillating people. And so I think it made me a better comic because I had to do it just with rhetoric, just with words and concepts and worldview. And so when
and
you get
targets,
into church,
atheists, liberals, Darwinists, pro-choicers, animal rights activists, targets as well.
Well, who doesn't have it? What? George Carlin doesn't have targets? Chris Rock doesn't have targets? That's the beauty of it. I mean, you've said a couple times already in this interview, you know, should there be two streams of comedy? There's tons of streams of comedy. Why can't I say I'm black and here's what life is like? I'm gay and here's what life is like. I'm fat and here's what my life's like. Why can't I say I'm a Christian, I'm a conservative, here's how I see life? I mean, that's what America is. You want that rainbow? Well, I'm like chartreuse. If that's in the rainbow, let me be the chartreuse guy. I'll be that guy.
We got it. Let's bring our callers in, if we may, Brad Stein. Connie's
sure.
calling from Worcester, Massachusetts. Hi, Connie. You're on the air.
We'll Hi. How Hi. Are you?
We're good.
Well, I am thrilled that we have Christian comedy. I am a devout Christian. I am appalled that Christian comedy believes it can wear the mantle of the religious right when there are a lot of religious left who are very moral, and I find it sad that we're politicizing Christianity when Christianity itself was not political.
Brad Stein, speak to Connie.
Connie, that's a great reference. Let me tell you something. When I was doing Promise Keepers, the first year I did it, I was with all these men. And the biggest thing about Promise Keepers, one of the things that they have made an issue about was racial reconciliation. That's what they wanted to do when they first started, was let everybody come together to Christ. So I came into this show, and I was seeing all these men who were trying to be good dads, trying to be good fathers. They have all these issues in their lives. And I really felt for them, and I wanted to talk to them and speak of the moral values that they grew up with and what they believed in. And you know what I found out? As I thought to myself in the midst of this show, I thought to myself, you know, there's a number of black Americans out here who oftentimes have, you know, are Democrat. And I thought, gee, I wonder if this is in a way turning them off, because I'm not America's Republican comedian. I'm America's conservative comedian. And so I actually began to alter things because I didn't want people to say, and I actually started saying this in my show, I don't politicize Jesus. He's not a Republican. He's not a Democrat. He's God. He takes everybody. I actually changed and altered myself because when it's all said and done, the truth is the most important thing to what I believe, the truth.
You don't politicize Jesus. I just have to ask about that. I mean, because you seem very politically attuned in the subjects that you pick up. As you said, everybody picks up subjects, whether you're right. Chris Rock or George Carlin or Brad Stein, but yours seem very, very much lined up with the kind of conservative, Republican, social agenda.
Well, maybe it is. I mean, so what?
Isn't that political?
Well, I mean, politicizing, when I say politicizing, I'm not saying that suddenly because I'm a Christian, I suddenly am not allowed to choose a political party or have a political point of view. That's ridiculous.
No, I'm just raising Connie's question. I mean, I'm reading here in January you were at the Republican House and Senate retreat at the Greenbrier Strait, West Virginia, you know, yucking it up with Tom DeLay. That's political, isn't it?
Yeah, but they called me. I mean, what? It's dough. I'm a capitalist, for crying out loud. If the Democrat, trust me, Tom.
Yep.
If Democrats call me after the show and say, "Come on down," I will do the show, just like Al Franken does things. You know,
we got it, Connie. What about the politics quotient here? Are you comfortable? You happy with it?
Well, I would love to take them up on that offer because so far everything I have heard has been very pro-right, which is not necessarily pro-morals. And I can put a whole litany of amoral, pro-right policies out there, and I would love to take them up on an offer to sit with some leading Democrats. I have some connections there to do the same thing.
We've got it, Connie.
I will do it.
It sounds
Connie,
like
listen to me.
Get the checkbook out. It sounds like Brad Stein is there.
Yes, it's going to cost you, Democrats. But as we know, you've got the dough. But
yeah,
listen, Connie, I mean, I do want you to understand something. And I appreciate what you're saying. Trust me, this is something I wrestle with. I do not want to politicize my faith. But if that happens to have particular social commentary that deals with a particular group that happens to attach to it, I can't help that. But I make it a point to say, this is not about Republican, Democrat. This is about a particular particular religious belief that takes everybody. And so I'm always altering, tweaking, trying to change and fix things in my show because I don't know everything. Trust me, I'm not a prophet or an evangelist. I'm a moron.
We got it. Connie, thanks for your call. We got a break in just a minute. Let's listen to a little bit of Brad Stein as we go out on religion in school.
Atheists. It's the only ideology that just freaks me out, man. Atheists. Atheists wants under God taken out of the Pledge of Allegiance. You know why? It offends him. I'm like, dude, you're an atheist. You don't even believe God is real. How can he offend you? What else is freaking you out? Unicorns? Unicorns! Oh, they're saying the unicorn word in school. Run, run!
Brad Stein from his DVD Tolerate This. We'll be back with more Brad Stein in just a minute. You can join us. Is this comedian an angry white male or a politically correct, incorrect truth teller? And what do you think of the truth as Stein tells it? What do you think of an angry, ranting Christian comedian? We're at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Support for On Point comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston. Bicon Dental Implants, offering short implants that can eliminate the need for bone grafting. Information is available at Bicon.com, B-I-C-O-N.com. And Private Wealth Management at Babson Capital. For more than 60 years, helping clients build and preserve wealth through financial planning, investment management, and trust services. In Cambridge and on the web at BabsonCapital.com.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with born-again Christian comedian Brad Stein about Jesus jokes and his career in Christian comedy. He joins us from Nashville. You can join us as well. What do you think? Is this your kind of humor? Does the country need more of it, less of it? What's your take on Brad Stein's career move, Brad Stein's comedy? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. 17 years as a comedian, so-so. The last five as the Christian comedian, and man, has it taken off. Here's another clip from his DVD, Tolerate This, suggesting we put God back in the public arena because Christians started this country.
Where do our values come from? God. That's why we need God in the public arena. I don't mean a sinking, I want a country where you have to believe a certain way. You can disbelieve. But if you don't have a moral structure, then you have no standard to draw conclusions from. None. It's not that complicated. It's not that, yes, but, which religion are we going to, listen to? I mean, there's so many. How about the one that we started with?
Yeah.
It got us this far. People don't want to admit that. Christians started this country.
Brad Stein from his DVD, Tolerate This. We're at 1-800-423-8255. Howard is calling from Randolph, Massachusetts. Hi, Howard. You're on the air.
Hi. I always thought that Christians were supposed to be honest people, and I hear a fundamental dishonesty that pervades every aspect of his act. I'll give you two very quick examples.
Okay.
At the top of the show, he spoke about 70% of the country being Christian. Well, that 70% surely includes liberal Episcopalians and liberal Lutherans who have a very different take on matters like abortion and prayer in the school. So is he going to include those in that 70%? That's first of all.
Okay.
Second, a moment ago he was complaining about the fact that, in his view, mainstream America puts down evangelicals and mm-hmm. fundamentalists and mm-hmm. lashes them and so on. And yet there he is, boasting about having been profiled in the New Yorker and the New York Times and on NPR.
But he's pretty straightforward in saying, look, I want to be a successful comedian, so...
Well, can you be a successful comedian without lying? I mean, he is telling basic lies about the country's attitude towards Christians, and yet the foremost institutions of the culture are portraying him. And he's obviously proud of the job.
Hang on, Howard. Brad Stein, what do you say?
Well, I mean, first off, I don't think I'm lying about anything. I would include everybody. You know, here's what, to me, Christianity is. If you believe Jesus is Messiah, you're a Christian. If you're Episcopalian, if you're this or that, that's fine. I'm not here to make value judgments. So, yes, I will include the Episcopalians. I will allow them in the game. What do I know? I'm just the comedian guy. But as far as, you know, the mainstream putting Christians down, I mean, it is mocked on a regular basis. Christians are considered, you know, even if you get into politics, they say, if you have a religious belief, keep it to yourself. I mean, you know, that doesn't make sense to me. If that's who you are as an American, why don't you have the right to include that as the way you see life? And that's the only thing I'm talking about, this idea that when most of the country believes in a certain particular moral point of view, or even just simple things like having nativity scenes in on a public park, which had been there for 100 years, and suddenly it's wrong now. I mean, you can't help but take that personally and feel like it's an attack on the tradition of what America was. That's the point. The Founding Fathers were around when people were praying in school. The Founding Fathers were around when the Bible was taught in school. Now, they wrote the Constitution. Why didn't they figure out that people were blowing their constitutional concepts? Because obviously it didn't matter. Obviously they never intended for religion not to play a part in American. So that's all I'm trying to say is suddenly we're being edged out and saying you don't even have a right to be considered in the table of ideas. And I, as a comic, am going to go against that because I'm a Christian and that's my right. And that's also part of what makes my comedy interesting to people who don't have a comic speaking for them. If you are from the left, you have pretty much every Hollywood star, pretty much every actor, every singer, everybody who says they're liberal and open-minded, and they're so open-minded, they all think exactly the same, but you all have them on your side. I'm just speaking for the other side and letting them laugh and letting them feel empowered, too. That's America. And you know what? It's a product, too. I'm a comedian. I told you. I'm not a pastor. I'm not an evangelist.
Howard, are you brought around here?
Your guest seems to be overlooking, for example, that section of the Constitution that says there shall be no religious test for office.
Or the First Amendment, maybe?
If your guest is going to portray himself as simply a comedian, why is he offering social and political commentary?
But lots of comedians do that, Howard. Is it wrong to offer it from the right? Is it because he puts on the Christian tag that makes you upset?
It seems to me that if a person is going to say, I'm a Christian, he ought to try to abide by the teachings of Jesus, which include being fair, not bearing grudges, forgiving. I don't hear any of that in this man's so-called comedy.
Howard, we've got it. Brett Stein, your book is titled Being a Christian Without Being an Idiot. 10
yes.
Assumed Truths
that
Make Us
Howard,
Look Stupid.
Well, I wrote that
speak
one for
to
Howard.
Us. So that means you don't just pander, I guess, to your audience. You also come around at some point and poke them a little bit. Where do you poke them? On what?
Well, you know what? I mean, if you watch any of my DVDs, the one thing that I've tried to be is iconoclastic and a gadfly. I mean, I will make fun of my friend. If for every time I make fun of an atheist, you'll see me making 5 minutes fun of Christians. You see me making fun of, the left. I make fun of the right because I believe that Christians aren't perfect, that we need to just be more honest and transparent and saying we're just people on a journey doing the best we can. We think God is real. We think he revealed himself, and we're trying to offer that to you. That's all I'm trying to do.
Ten assumed truths. Give us a couple of those. Ten assumed truths. That make us, your word, look stupid.
Satan. They say Satan is like the problem for everything that's ever happened to me. You know, they blame Satan, is in my radio. Satan's over here. Satan made me lose my job. I'm like, no, your incompetence made you lose your job. Satan had nothing. Some of these people, all Satan has to do is wake them up in the morning. They create their own problems. So this idea of blaming Satan for all the issues in life, this idea that if you have a drink or a smoke, that suddenly you're not a Christian. I say that's a tradition. That is not in the Bible. You don't have to drink. You can think it's better, and maybe the country would be better if you never had a drink. Maybe people would be safer and more lives would be safe. I'm not arguing that. What I'm saying is the Bible says that Jesus drank. So either he wasn't a Christian or something's wrong. So all I'm trying to say is truth is more important than tradition. And that's what I'm trying to allow Christians to be open-minded enough to realize that we don't, do everything perfectly. We don't do everything right. And let's try to relate to our culture in a way that says we, are flawed people. And, hey, if we make mistakes or screw up, let's admit it. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Brad Stein is with us from Nashville. We're at 1-800-423-8255. George is calling from Quanah, Texas. Hi, George. You're on the air.
Thank you very much for taking my call, Tom.
Sure. What do you think?
I think that... I applaud Brad for what he said about being a capitalist because I think he jumped on the Christian bandwagon and, with Bush having been elected twice now, you can see how popular the Christian right has become in this country. But I don't think you ought to think that he's not political, because if that's what he does think, you know, because he appeals to the same people that Bush does on the conservative right, and that's okay. There's room for that. But I just hope he can remember that there's not just one way. Okay, my brother's a born-again Christian, and he's, you know, a pretty hard right Republican also. They seem to go together, and, you know, I just don't want these guys to be in charge forever. I hope this pendulum swings back the other way.
George, we've got it, and we thank you for your call. Brad, you hear this? There's a kind of consistent line of resistance here, saying be funny, but be gentle on us with your politics, because not everybody who labels themselves Christians or otherwise is on board with the political face of it.
Well, that's true. But you know what? If you have a point of view, guess what? You're going to offend somebody. If you believe something is true, somebody's not going to like it. So I can't, you know, I'm not going to play the wishy-washy guy that suddenly says, you know, I believe this, don't believe that. I'm going to have my point of view. I have said how many times I don't do it always right, and I'll even change if I feel like it needs to be done.
It's funny.
I'm more concerned about truth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what I hear, it's interesting because, of course, comedians say anything and everything.
Exactly.
It's when the religious tag gets associated with you, then people begin to hold you to a different standard. And maybe they should.
Well, I don't know why that means that. I mean, you know, look, there was the Jesus that was crucified and said, forgive them, they know not what they do. It's a beautiful picture of God dying for humanity. There's a beautiful picture of the martyrs, you know, of Stephen being pelted with rocks saying, forgive them. That's a beautiful part of the Christian religion. It's the only one that teaches like that, that you would give yourself up for other people and love them in spite of that. I love that about my faith. But you know what? There's also the kicking tables over whipping Jesus. There's also the sitting out in the desert calling the religious people on their legalism. And I do that too. That's what I'm saying. See, the people that are listening to this show, they don't hear all the stuff where I'm slamming Christians. I mean, I think I'm pretty, you know, much an equal opportunity a slammer guy. And look, I know that there's going to be some people that disagree with me, but it's just interesting to me in this culture in 2005 how we find that as soon as somebody has a religious conviction, you're supposed to shut up. I'm not going to do that. That's not America.
we hear that. George, thanks for your call from Texas. Clarice is calling from right there in your town, Brad Stein, from Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Clarice. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you.
Sure.
First of all, you got it wrong, mister. The Constitution is written as one country under God, not one country under Christ. There are over 300 religions in this world, and so all these Christians keep thinking, oh, this is a Christian nation. Everybody has to conform to this. And fundamentalist Christianity is very similar to fundamentalist Islam. They both restrict women. They're both, I don't know, just off the wall.
But Clarice, is there a problem to you?
Just a third quick point is that politics needs to stay away from religion, render under God what is God's, unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And that's all I have to say.
Got it. Clarice, thanks very much for calling. Brad, I think you're getting that critique pretty loud and clear. It's interesting, among your, I don't know if you'd call them heroes, but the tradition you describe yourself in, George Carlin, Lenny Bruce, Richard Pryor, of course, these are anything but pious comics. George Carlin, I think, is kind of number one on your list. He comes down, of course, famously and very hard from the other direction. I want to just listen to a little bit of George Carlin with you for a second, Brad Stein. Of course, here he is wailing away on religion. George Carlin.
In the bullshit department, a businessman can't hold a candle to a clergyman. Because I got to tell you the truth, folks. I got to tell you the truth. When it comes to bullshit, big time, major league bullshit, you have to stand in awe. In awe of the all-time champion of false promises and exaggerated claims, religion. No contest. No contest. Religion. Religion easily has the greatest bullshit story ever told.
George Carlin, a hero of Brad Stein's on the comic front, but maybe you need to refine our understanding of that, Brad. How do you see the great guy there. Now that you're, you know, sort of giving comedy from this particular angle, is he headed to hell in a handcart?
Well, you know what? He probably would be happy to be told he's going to hell, because I'm sure he doesn't believe in that either. But, you know, let me tell you something. That was funny, what he just said. That was funny. I loved the fact that he found his point of view. He totally hates God or disagrees with him or doesn't believe in him. He totally hates Christians or religion in general. And he talks about it. And he finds a way to provoke people, as you heard, who are all, you know, on his side and saying, yay, go church. I don't have a problem with that. I thought he did it great. He's great at that thing. I want to be that from the other side. It's interesting to me how we continue to hear people say, you know, you should keep your religion out of this thing. But what I, you know, my problem is, where do people think they draw their moral truth from? Everybody keeps saying we should do this or do that. Like there's this ultimate should somewhere that we're supposed to be drawing these conclusions from. Where does it come from? Is it from evolution? Darwinism? Is it just matter and atoms that suddenly just said we should be nice to each other, that we should love our neighbor, that we should be courageous, that we should give food to the poor? Is that an evolutionary concept? Is that a naturalistic concept? Or did it come from religion? Even atheists have to borrow from religion to find morals, because there is no moral in atheism, because it's about survival of the fittest. It's about we're here as an accident. There is no transcendent truth. There is no God. There's nothing out there. There's not even immutable truth. The culture defines truth, which means if your culture is Nazis, they win. Well, I'm not going to live in a world like that, nor do I believe it's true. So what George is saying is funny, it's provocative, and he's great at it. But I disagree, and I think I can come up with funny ways to say, here's why I believe in God. And I provide that in an American society that says, if you want what I'm dishing out, laugh. If you don't laugh. Buy it, don't buy it. I don't care. I'm not here to try to be, you know, to try to make people like me. I'm here to provide what I am and let people decide if they're interested.
And we see, career-wise, it's working. You went after churches that set up bands or even book-burning parties for Harry Potter. You worked that into your routine. What do you say about that?
Because it was ridiculous. That's my point. I mean, we're not all a bunch of fanatics. I mean, people were like, you know, burning Harry Potter books. And I'm like, so, you know, everything you do is supposed to draw people to church and, you know, not away from it. And nothing makes people want to run through the church door like a good old-fashioned book burning, huh? Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. That's what I mean. Think about what you're doing, and you're in the name of Jesus. Because I think a good rule of thumb is if Hitler tried it, you might want to go another direction. That's just my little comment to you people. Yes, if I see stupidity done in Christianity, I'm going to say so. If I think that it's not being represented well, I'm going to say so. If somebody out in your listenership decide that I'm doing it wrong, they're going to say so. This is great. This is America. I don't have a problem. I'm not intimidated or scared or feel that I have to suddenly, you know, be different than what I am. I think there's room for everybody's point of view.
So you're working on new material all the time, I'm sure. You're a comic. What are you working on now? Where are you headed? What are you honing?
Well, you know, I am working on some new stuff. I mean, you know, the amazing thing is this Tolerate This is a Warner Brothers project, so, I mean, it's on a Main Street label. And I just, you know what, I feel, you know, energized to think that I was allowed. You know, I mean, you know, I started the program saying, they ignore me. And now it's like, you know, it does seem like the, you know, mainstream media is saying, okay, there is a market here. There are people that want this thing. And I'm glad, you know, of course, this is what I've been trying to do as a comic. But, you know, everything. I mean,
Intelligent Design, what have you got? Or Katrina, you name it.
Well, this is what kills me. It's like people blame God. God has done this thing. First off, if you believe in God, you must believe in Satan. Why couldn't it have been Satan? Maybe he did that. And secondly, it's a natural disaster. That's why we have the term natural disaster. Nature destroyed this thing. The people that came up with the act of God, you know who did that? The insurance companies. They're the ones that said act of God clause. It's like, hey, thanks for those premiums all these years, but I'm sorry your house got swept away, but it's an act of God.
Intelligent Design, do you have a position, Brad Stein?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't understand the concept of evolution. I'm still studying it. I see a lot of double doctorates who disagree with evolutionary theory, from Dembski to Behe to Philip Johnson. I just don't understand. You know, yes, this bug spent millions of years getting this camouflage so that it could get away from its enemies. I'm just thinking, what did it do in the meantime? I mean, if it took a million years, was he, like, reasoning with this guy? I'm just a twig over here. I don't know. I'm still figuring out this evolution thing, but I'm going to come to the conclusion somewhere, Tom.
Brad Stein, evangelical Christian and increasingly successful Christian comic. Thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
His DVDs, Tolerate This and Conservative Unleashed. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR, National Public Radio.